97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome back to the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy to have you here with us today. Thrilled that you could join us. And just want to mention to people again, we've tried to take the show live for the first time today to Rumble. Great result. We got 120 people on there watching us already. Feel free to hit the follow button. We're going to try to do this regularly since we've sort of been restricted on Facebook from taking the show live. So many people here on here are like, this is so much better than Facebook. You're going to love it better. We'll throw the show back up there on Facebook if they ever let us, but I'm kind of tired of it myself. I've just got to be honest with you, dealing with these psychos at Facebook and the ridiculous reasons that they just suddenly decide that, well, you were here today, you're not going to be on here tomorrow. But welcome in. If you do go to Rumble, I will tell you, I've made it more complicated than it needs to be, but the title of the show is The Mark Cox Morning Show, and there's no spaces in there. And somebody even said you have to capitalize each word. So I don't know if you go in there and search it in the bar and then hit the follow button, it'll make it easier the second time around. And I apologize because I'm a Rumble newbie. And once you create your username, you're kind of stuck. So that's kind of where we are. Coming up, we're going to get to Jessie Jane Duff. Of course, you know her from she's on the show regularly on Mondays. We couldn't get her yesterday because the Trump campaign was kind of restricting its folks from speaking out the day after the assassination attempt. So we booked Jessie Jane for this morning, and she got the okay, and now we're going to get her on here coming up here at about 8:20 and get her thoughts on, you know, language that led to, they call it rhetoric on the left. But I got a good ad for you I'm going to run here this morning that the Trump campaign's put out that tells you exactly who the people are who are causing the problem. It's pretty obvious. They've set up somebody as a threat to America. They point to Donald Trump all the time since he came down the elevator or the escalator at Trump Tower in 2014, 2015. And they've demonized him ever since. And it's what you've seen here is a direct result of that. We'll talk to Jessie Jane about that coming up. And guess what? Remember Brexit? Remember Britain deciding it was tired of its borders being porous and wide open, and they basically left the European Union as a result of it? Will Germany be next? I don't know. There's several people are angry at Germany right now because they're starting to restrict migration. Because they're being overwhelmed, like, oh, I don't know, the city of Springfield, Ohio, for example, might be a good example of that. We're going to check in with Jonathan Savage at the bottom of the hour on that story. But first, Carl Mendelman, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Congressman, do you think Kamala's issued statement where she said there's no place for violence in America, or she's glad Donald Trump's safe, was that sufficient?
No.
No, Byron Donald's on there last night with Laura Ingraham saying, you know, this is enough of this. We're done, and we need more than just a statement from the sitting vice president.
The media is already trying to turn the page. Trump got shot, and they're worried about the Haitians in Springfield. Not the Americans in Springfield, just the Haitians.
You know, I love that Jesse Waters listens to this show because I made that very point yesterday. You cannot say it often enough. They're more worried that somebody is not eating pets in Springfield than the fact that the place is being turned into a third world country because of the 20,000 Haitians that they've airdropped in there from Haiti.
Well, there's a lot of rhetoric going on. A lot of people think that the Democrats, and it seems that both of these people were radical lefts.
Donald Trump talking about who's behind this, right? And who has encouraged these people to attempt to murder him two different times now.
Every woman cop I've ever dealt with, every single one that I've ever been pulled over by, tried to make me feel like a bitch.
Well, that's Andy Frisella. Of course, the founder of First Form and Supplement Superstore and all that, who got in just a little bit of trouble last week on Thursday with his podcast. He came out, he issued an apology of sorts, But for many people, it wasn't enough of an apology after he said that he didn't think women deserved to be in law enforcement, period, because he had had a couple of bad experiences. Yesterday, I had a retired female police officer come on who joined us, and she served 28 years on the force in the county. And she was just not accepting the apology at all. Felt that there was way too much going on under there somewhere to believe that he said it one day and then didn't believe it the next. So I don't know. I've invited Andy onto this show. Haven't heard from him. Don't know that I will. But we did invite him on. And I just things continued to get worse for Andy Frisella. Now, one of his defenses here is that he's been a longtime supporter of law enforcement. And if you listen to a lot of the comments on his show, he appears to be a pretty conservative guy, support conservative causes, supports law enforcement, first responders. He's donated a lot of money to him over the years. First thing that happened is that the county police said, we're cutting all ties with you. And then the city police said, we're cutting all ties with you. We don't care that you donate to law enforcement. We don't want to deal with somebody who's got that kind of attitude about female police officers. Well, then yesterday, the biggest first responder charity in the area, which of course is Guns and Hoses, helping backstoppers, announced that it would no longer accept the annual $100,000 donation that First Foreman Andy Frisella have been making every year to Guns and Hoses. That's huge. On principle, they're willing to forego that $100,000 donation because they don't want to deal. I just wonder what this is doing to the business. You know, and the thing about it is, here's the other thing. As conservatives, we don't like to be in the cancel culture business. We see that happen all the time. I mean, Andy Frisella may legitimately be sorry about what he said and how he said it. I don't know. One cop pointed out to me yesterday, you know, the guy could be a tool, but I don't want to punish the people who work for him who didn't make those comments. So I don't know what this is doing to their business. I guess that's the next shoe to drop, is whether or not people are deciding not to go to First Form or the supplement superstore. I don't know. But I'm sure Andy Frisella is sorry for what he said for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is that it could potentially start impacting his business. We hear that story. We'll let you know. And if you know Andy, tell him I'd love to have him on here sometime if he wants to come on and try to explain all that, because I'm not trying to cancel him. I'm just talking about the story. I didn't say it. He said it. All right. Quick break here. Jesse Jane Duff is going to join us in a couple minutes. We'll ask her about the whole assassination attempt number two on former President Donald Trump. We'll be right back.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
Press always asks me, don't I wish I were debating him? No, I wish during high school I could take him behind the gym. That's what I wish.
I said, no. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
That you cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about.
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you fan a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
Enemies of the state.
President Walker, how do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
When they go low, we kick.
Please, get up in the face of some congresspeople.
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
All right. Jesse Jane Duff on the phone with us this morning. And You know, that is a new Trump ad that they're running in some of the battleground states, Jesse Jane, and I'm glad that they're pointing out where the vitriol is coming from.
Oh, my goodness. So critical that we are fully aware of what's exactly going on. You know, I'm just devastated that here we are, not even 2 months later, and seeing another assassination attempt. I mean, what year is this? Like, I'm just astounded by this. But, you know, when the left is just absolutely insane with trying to have him eliminated as what words that they use that we normally reserve for terrorists. Like, when we eliminate somebody in the U.S. military, it means that they were taken out by a sniper. And so these words that they are using demonstrate that they have a vengeance that is very, very deep. Now, when you look at what's going on in Ohio, and now it takes the governor to come out and say that all of these bomb threats have been actually a hoax from overseas governments, but yet they get on MSNBC and try to accuse J.D. Vance of inciting violence. But you know what they don't talk about is the violence against the women and children, but what is actually real with illegal immigration. The illegals that have come over here, the MS-13 members that have hatched up people with machetes. How about the mother of 5 children in Maryland whose body was stuffed in a drainage pipe? How about the young girls that have been raped and actually bludgeoned, and their bodies have been just left wherever that the attacker has decided to leave them? And what about the families that have been lost in DUIs by people that have been deported multiple times? They don't want to talk about that. They want to get upset over the puppies and kitten memes, which is the only way that we've been able to get their attention.
It's sad. But what you have to remember, Jesse Jane, is that Donald Trump would be a dictator.
Americans Listen. Need to understand that they have to take Trump both seriously and literally. He has said what he wants to do. He and his allies with Project 2025, his desire to be a dictator, at least on day one.
That's Hillary Clinton last night. Last night, 2 days after the second attempted murder of Donald Trump.
I'm just stunned that Hillary Clinton is this tone deaf. Like, now she's starting to come across as words that start with a B, but I will say which, because I'm sorry, this is just a very, very tasteless and tacky statement by her, and it's making her look very mean and ugly. So now the mask is truly off. Not only are we deplorables to her, she wants to basically take it up another notch and blame President Trump, blame J.D. Vance, blame the rhetoric of the Republicans. But yet you cannot find me one single quote from anybody on the Trump campaign that has ever suggested that somebody needs to be eliminated, or suggest that there's a target on their head, or I would like to see them killed, or, you know, we come out alive, such as Kamala Harris when she was being interviewed with Ellen DeGeneres. Although she wasn't running for president at that time, they make jokes out of things that are really actually morbid and disgusting. In politics, they want to say there's no room for political violence. My goodness, they are leading the pack on it.
Well, thank goodness President Trump is safe, and I mean, I know that you've spent some time with him, and he's a brave man. He keeps going despite the threats.
Oh, my goodness. You know, President Trump has been leading the way for this nation, and I think that everybody is fully aware now that he is actually going to change Washington, D.C. in a way that all of these Democrats can no longer profit off of the American taxpayer. That's exactly why they are trying to remove him from his ability to run. So they weaponized the Department of Justice. They tried to remove him off the ballot. They've been trying to bankrupt him. It is attack after attack after attack to finally now, while there's these Looney Tunes that are out there shooting, we don't know necessarily whether they're tied to anybody that's necessarily directing them to do this, but the vitriol that they have elevated this to, they have actually gotten it in some of these idiots' minds that he's a threat to the country. I'm sorry. If Americans don't wake up quickly, you're going to lose your republic. Right. You're going to lose your freedoms. You're going to lose your Supreme Court. And you know what? Cackling Kamala will be your raising your taxes left and right, and illegals will be living in your backyard.
Jesse Jane, we'll talk to you next Monday. Thank you very much. So here in the States, we've been discussing the impact that immigration can have, both legal and illegal, on a community, right? We've talked about the uptick in crime in some areas. It's obviously not the biggest cause of concern, but we see it. And in Brexit, for example, England chose to break away from the European Union because of concerns over sovereignty, and immigration was part of that issue. And now there's another European country, Germany, that has European Union country that has decided it's going to crack down, and that's causing a few problems. We've got Jonathan Savage on the phone right now from Fox News Radio. Jonathan, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So what is it crime in this particular case that has led Germany to cracking down on immigration?
In part, but I don't think in the major part is crime. I mean, Germany has for quite a long time been very much welcoming to immigrants. In about the mid-20-teens, they opened the door to over a million new arrivals because of the migrant crisis that developed then. But this has, over the years, these open arms have turned to more and more people looking for closed borders. The far-right opposition party, the Alternative for Germany, is rising in the polls, and the government in Germany has decided belatedly in the minds of some of its citizens to do something about it, something that no other European country is doing. Now, if you are in most of Europe, certainly most of the European Union, you don't have any land borders. You could pick up a car in Portugal, drive all the way to Poland, and not slow down or stop for anything other than petrol or food.
Right.
But Germany has added checks, at least temporarily, to every single land border. Today, they've added five more European countries where you have to show your passport, your visa, show that you have the right to enter Germany, whereas before, you didn't have to do that.
Wow. And then, so what is their basis on whether or not they let you in? If you're a U.S. citizen who travels over there and you're trying to drive through Germany to get to Austria or something like that, what are they looking for?
That shouldn't be a problem, I think, because they would see that you're a U.S. citizen and that you could say why you're going through Germany, what your business is, and they have arrangements for Americans to enter Germany legally. Different countries have different rules. But what they're really trying to do is crack down on what they call irregular migration, perhaps people who are coming to Germany to live there, who have entered the European Union illegally or irregularly, and perhaps if they were asylum seekers under the rules, they should have sought asylum in the first country they got to and not traveled over several countries to get to Germany.
I see. And I mean, pretty much they have to have come in through another port, correct, to get into the country?
Yeah, that's right. Germany has land borders with about nine or ten countries.
Right.
So they've got the last year they brought in inspections on the borders with Poland, the Czech Republic, Austria, and Switzerland, and now they're adding France, Denmark, the Netherlands, Belgium, and Luxembourg. And what the German government said is when they brought in the border restrictions with those four countries last year, they prevented over 30,000 unauthorized entries, and that's why they think they should do it with these other countries, at least temporarily. But these other countries aren't very happy about that.
It doesn't sound like it at all. Interesting. All right. Jonathan Savage, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, it's weird. I took that Danube River cruise last year, and on several of the tours, the bus would weave in and out of Austria and or be in one country for a minute, and then you'd be in Austria, and then then we ended up in Germany, and they made us take our passport if they knew we were going to be going from one country to another. Not once did we ever get stopped. We didn't see any checkpoints. We didn't see any of that. So this must have started since we did that last summer. That's wild, because it was a year ago in August when we were there. So I just thought I'd point that out for people who are paying attention, which brings us back to the immigration problem here. Did you hear what Jonathan Savage referred to these people as? Right? Irregular immigrants. Now, here I would call them illegal aliens, because that would be the correct terminology for them. They came into the country illegally, and they don't have a passport. They don't have any paperwork. They don't have anything, but they're living off the largesse of the taxes of everyone else. That is the definition of what's going on in Springfield, Ohio, except that It's the Harris-Biden administration that brought these people in. They used an executive order to waive normal immigration requirements, and they airlifted a bunch of people out of Haiti, and they dropped them in Springfield, Ohio. I think I might have said Illinois a minute ago. Springfield, Ohio. And now the debate is raging over whether or not J.D. Vance and Donald Trump said something wrong about what's going on in that city. Mike DeWine, the governor of Ohio, went to the trouble last weekend to go on the Sunday shows and basically call Trump and Vance liars. Listen.
Well, Major, this is something that came up on the internet, and the internet can be quite crazy sometimes. And look, the mayor, Mayor Rue of Springfield says, no, there's no truth in that. They have no evidence of that at all. So I think we go with what the mayor says. He knows his city.
Yeah, if we go with what the mayor says. So he goes on there and he makes that statement. And then, of course, the Democrats are running wild with it. Trump's lying. Vance is lying. It's increasing the threat to the migrants who live in Springfield. Well, there are no threats. There have been some bomb threats called into schools. The same guy you just heard from admitted yesterday that all of the threats are hoaxes, and they're all coming from outside of the United States. Play the Mike DeWine bite we have, Carl, please.
These threats have all been hoaxes. None of them have panned out. We have people, unfortunately, overseas who are taking these actions. Some of them are coming from one particular country. We think that this is, one more opportunity to mess with the United States, and they're continuing to do that.
Yeah.
So we cannot let the bad guys win. Our schools must remain open.
Yeah, it's a shame. I'm not happy that the schools have closed, but it's not Americans that are doing this. It's outside interest trying to stir the pot. And here's what I'd say to Mike DeWine and to the mayor of Springfield, who was in the city council meeting where the residents complain every time there's a meeting about the problems they're seeing on the street. And all we're focused on is whether or not somebody's pet cat got eaten or didn't get eaten. Listen to this one more time. And before you do it, put on a T-shirt and some Crocs, please.
They're in the park grabbing up ducks by their neck and cutting their head off and walking off with them and eating them. Like, and it's going to get bigger and it's only going to get worse. And y'all sitting up there in these chairs, y'all, all y'all need to get out here and do something. Y'all making hundreds of thousands of dollars. Y'all need to put on that.
So here in the States, we've been discussing the impact that immigration can have, both legal and illegal, on a community, right? We've talked about the uptick in crime in some areas. It's obviously not the biggest cause of concern, but we see it. And in Brexit, for example, England chose to break away from the European Union because of concerns over sovereignty, and immigration was part of that issue. And now there's another European country, Germany, that has, European Union country, that has decided it's going to crack down, and that's causing a few problems. We've got Jonathan Savage on the phone right now from Fox News Radio. Jonathan, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So what is it crime in this particular case that has led Germany to cracking down on immigration?
In part, but I don't think in the major part is crime. I mean, Germany has, for quite a long time, been very much welcoming to immigrants. In about the mid-20-teens, they opened the door to over a million new arrivals because of the migrant crisis that developed then. But this has, over the years, these open arms have turned to more and more people looking for closed borders. The far-right opposition party, the Alternative for Germany, is rising in the polls, and the government in Germany has decided belatedly in the minds of some of its citizens to do something about it, something that no other European country is doing. Now, if you are in most of Europe certainly most of the European Union, you don't have any land borders. You could pick up a car in Portugal, drive all the way to Poland, and not slow down or stop for anything other than petrol or food.
Right.
But Germany has added checks, at least temporarily, to every single land border. Today, they've added five more European countries where you have to show your passport, your visa, show that you have the right to enter Germany, whereas before, you didn't have to do that.
Wow. And then, so what is their basis on whether or not they let you in? If you're a U.S. citizen who travels over there and you're trying to drive through Germany to get to Austria or something like that, what are they looking for?
That shouldn't be a problem, I think, because they would see that you're a U.S. citizen and that you could say why you're going through Germany, what your business is, and they have arrangements for Americans to enter Germany legally. Different countries have different rules. But what they're really trying to do is crack down on what they call irregular migration, perhaps people who are coming to Germany to live there, who have entered the European Union illegally or irregularly, and perhaps if they were asylum seekers under the rules, they should have sought asylum in the first country they got to and not traveled over several countries to get to Germany.
I see. And I mean, pretty much they have to have come in through another port, correct, to get into the country?
Yeah, that's right. Germany has land borders with about 9 or 10
right,
countries.
Right.
So they've got the last year they brought in inspections on the borders with Poland, the Czech Republic, Austria, and Switzerland, and now they're adding France, Denmark, the Netherlands, Belgium, and Luxembourg. And what the German government said is when they brought in the border restrictions with those four countries last year, they prevented over 30,000 unauthorized entries, and that's why they think they should do it with these other countries, at least temporarily. But these other countries aren't very happy about that.
It doesn't sound like it at all. Interesting. All right. Jonathan Savage, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, it's weird. I took that Danube River cruise last year, and on several of the tours, the bus would weave in and out of Austria and or be in one country for a minute, and then you'd be in Austria, and then then we ended up in Germany, and they made us take our passport if they knew we were going to be going from one country to another. Not once did we ever get stopped. We didn't see any checkpoints. We didn't see any of that. So this must have started since we did that last summer. That's wild, because it was a year ago in August when we were there. So I just thought I'd point that out for people who are paying attention, which brings us back to the immigration problem here. Did you hear what Jonathan Savage referred to these people as? Right? Irregular immigrants. Now, here I would call them illegal aliens, because that would be the correct terminology for them. They came into the country illegally, and they don't have a passport. They don't have any paperwork. They don't have anything, but they're living off the largesse of the taxes of everyone else. That is the definition of what's going on in Springfield, Ohio, except that it's the Harris-Biden administration that brought these people in. They used an executive order to waive normal immigration requirements, and they airlifted a bunch of people out of Haiti, and they dropped them in Springfield, Ohio. I think I might have said Illinois a minute ago. Springfield, Ohio. And now the debate is raging over whether or not J.D. Vance and Donald Trump said something wrong about what's going on in that city. Mike DeWine, the governor of Ohio, went to the trouble last weekend to go on the Sunday shows and basically call Trump and Vance liars. Listen.
Well, Major, this is something that came up on the internet, and the internet can be quite crazy sometimes. And look, the mayor, Mayor Rue of Springfield says, no, there's no truth in that. They have no evidence of that at all. So I think we go with what the mayor says. He knows his city.
Yeah, if we go with what the mayor says. So he goes on there and he makes that statement. And then, of course, the Democrats are running wild with it. Trump's lying. Vance is lying. It's increasing the threat to the migrants who live in Springfield. Well, there are no threats. There have been some bomb threats called into schools. The same guy you just heard from admitted yesterday that all of the threats are hoaxes, and they're all coming from outside of the United States. Play the Mike DeWine bite we have, Carl, please.
These threats have all been hoaxes. None of them have panned out. We have people, unfortunately, overseas who are taking these actions. Some of them are coming from one particular country. We think that this is, you know, one more opportunity to mess with the United States, and they're continuing to do that.
Yeah.
So we cannot let the bad guys win. Yeah. Our schools must remain open.
Yeah, it's a shame. I'm not happy that the schools have closed, but it's not Americans that are doing this. It's outside interest trying to stir the pot. And here's what I'd say to Mike DeWine and to the mayor of Springfield, who was in the city council meeting where the residents complain every time there's a meeting about the problems they're seeing on the street. And all we're focused on is whether or not somebody's pet cat got eaten or didn't get eaten. Listen to this one more time. And before you do it, put on a T-shirt and some Crocs, please.
They're in the park grabbing up ducks by their neck and cutting their head off and walking off with them and eating them. Like, and it's going to get bigger and it's only going to get worse. And y'all sitting up there in these chairs, y'all, all y'all need to get out here and do something. Y'all making hundreds of thousands of dollars. Y'all need to put on a T-shirt and some Crocs. And then y'all need to come out here in these streets and y'all need to go out here. And I'm out here before the police is. Like, y'all need to do something, bro. Y'all really got to stand on business. Y'all getting paid all this money just to wear a suit and sit in a chair. I think it's crazy, bro. That's where they come from, and that's what they do. That's
a terrible sadness came over me, and I began to cry. I immediately started to think back to when I was little, walking from my grandma's house on South Fountain through downtown and all the way to Snyder Park. I feel like we have been invaded by some sort of pest. Pulling off of the highway to publicly clean and gut the roadkill lying there in front of anyone that passes by, stealing animals from farmers and leaving their severed heads at the site of an old school where children play, relieving themselves in public, making some barbaric stew out of the birds that live in our park. This is insanity, and it has to stop. What will become of Springfield? Where will we be in 5 years? The thought terrifies me.
Why isn't the mainstream media covering that story? Why? Donald Trump and J.D. Vance talked about a couple of claims from people there regarding their pets missing. The bigger story, though, that it's drawing attention to is the disaster on the ground that every single one of those public officials and all of these liars in the mainstream media will not talk about. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Well, I was there, and right after the stop, I would say this. He had the demeanor of somebody coming home after a Sunday picnic. His facial affect was, he was unperturbed, did not seem particularly rattled. I mean, the interstate was shut down, helicopters overhead. I mean, you can picture it. Guns, everything out. He was fine, and did not say a word.
Yeah, that is Sheriff William Snyder, Martin County, Florida. And it was his department that caught the shooter or the would-be shooter in the Trump murder attempt, right? And he was talking about the questions he would ask if he was in charge of the investigation in Palm Beach. And I think they're really good questions. Go to cut number 7, Carl, please.
Yeah, he drove a long way. He's not from here. So it's not like somebody that lived nearby was trolling the area, kind of got a feel that every once in a while Trump would show up unannounced. I would ask that question. That would be the first thing I'd want to know if I was the federal government. How in this world, what the heck was going on that put this guy on Trump at the golf course without any advance notice to the public?
Isn't it a good question? And when you heard the report from overnight where they said that so far they don't have any information at all to say that he was working with anyone. He must have been working alone. Does it remind you of Lee Harvey Oswald? I mean, he must have been working alone. I mean, I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but what are the odds that a guy with that background who had no information at all that Trump was going to be golfing that day, laid in wait for 12 hours, and suddenly here comes Donald Trump along on the golf course. Apparently, it was planned at the last second the day before. That's a lot of coincidence. I'm just saying that is a lot of coincidence right there for you. By the way, I mentioned this earlier. Did you see the whistleblower information from ABC News? This is the interesting part about this. Whether you give this person any credibility or not, they made a point. They went to a notary public, filed this affidavit on September 9th because they wanted to ensure that the allegations set forth were formally documented prior to the debate between Trump and Harris. And the guy claims, I assume it's a guy, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl, claims that they secretly recorded conversations that will prove the Harris campaign insisted upon not only fact-checking Donald Trump, but insisted on what questions were not to be asked under any circumstances, or else the Harris campaign would decline to participate in the debate. That among those were no questions regarding the perceived health of President Joe Biden, and no questions related to her tenure as Attorney General in San Francisco, and no questions concerning her brother-in-law, Tony West, who faces allegations of embezzling billions of dollars in taxpayer funds. I mean, if this is legit, it destroys any credibility ABC News had left, that there were negotiations with the Harris campaign that the Trump campaign was not privy to, in terms of what questions were being asked and a promise as to what questions wouldn't be asked. That's got to be investigated by someone, and I can't wait to find out the answer. All right, we're done. By the way, we'll be in a different studio tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. That'll start off at 5 a.m. Kilmeade's up next, The Annie Fry Show, The Mark Reardon Show. Have a great Tuesday. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Well, I was there, and right after the stop, I would say this. He had the demeanor of somebody coming home after a Sunday picnic. His facial affect was, he was unperturbed, did not seem particularly rattled. I mean, the interstate was shut down, helicopters overhead. I mean, you can picture it. Guns, everything out. He was fine, and did not say a word.
Yeah, that is Sheriff William Snyder, Martin County, Florida. And he was the... It was his department that caught the shooter, or the would-be shooter, in the Trump murder attempt, right? And he was talking about the questions he would ask if he was in charge of the investigation in Palm Beach. And I think they're really good questions. Go to cut number 7, Carl, please.
That he drove a long way. He's not from here. So it's not like somebody that lived nearby was trolling the area, kind of got a feel that every once in a while Trump would show up unannounced. I would ask that question. That would be the first thing I'd want to know if I was the federal government. How in this world, what the heck was going on that put this guy on Trump at the golf course without any advanced notice to the public?
Isn't it a good question? And when you heard the report from overnight where they said that so far they don't have any information at all to say that he was working with anyone. He must have been working alone. Does it remind you of Lee Harvey Oswald? I mean, he must have been working alone. I mean, I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but what are the odds that a guy with that background who had no information at all that Trump was going to be golfing that day laid in wait for 12 hours and suddenly here comes Donald Trump along on the golf course? Apparently, it was planned at the last second the day before. That's a lot of coincidence. I'm just saying that is a lot of coincidence right there for you. By the way, I mentioned this earlier. Did you see the whistleblower information from ABC News? This is the interesting part about this. Whether you give this person any credibility or not, they made a point. They went to a notary public, filed this affidavit on September 9th. Because they wanted to ensure that the allegations set forth were formally documented prior to the debate between Trump and Harris. And the guy claims, I assume it's a guy, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl, claims that they secretly recorded conversations that will prove the Harris campaign insisted upon not only fact-checking Donald Trump, but insisted on what questions were not to be asked under any circumstances, or else the Harris campaign would decline to participate in the debate. That among those were no questions regarding the perceived health of President Joe Biden, and no questions related to her tenure as Attorney General in San Francisco, and no questions concerning her brother-in-law, Tony West, who faces allegations of embezzling billions of dollars in taxpayer funds. I mean, if this is legit, it destroys any credibility ABC News had left, that there were negotiations with the Harris campaign that the Trump campaign was not privy to in terms of what questions were being asked and a promise as to what questions wouldn't be asked. That's got to be investigated by someone, and I can't wait to find out the answer. All right, we're done. By the way, we'll be in a different studio tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. That'll start off at 5 a.m. Kilmeade's up next. The Annie Fry Show, The Mark Reardon Show. Have a great Tuesday. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.